But let's be doing his will. And then to die for want of the necessities of life, being obliged to such hard labor, this is just one of the sins they committed that brought them to this judgment. The sin was a direct disobedience of God's word, which taught to help the poor. And we need to help the poor. I have never once said we don't help the poor. I have said we don't give handouts to people who won't work. The Bible's very clear. If a man won't work, neither shall he eat. It doesn't say if he can't work. It says if he won't work. There's a huge difference between the two. We should help the poor. Why do you think when they went out and they harvested the fields, they left the corners for the poor to come and get from those corners so they could eat too? They did take care of the poor. And we should do that. I don't have any problem with that. What I have a problem with is handout after handout after handout after handout after handout to people who will not work. This idea we'll take from the rich and we'll give to the poor. Now, those evil, rich, wicked people that provide jobs for people so they can eat. Yeah, they're evil and wicked, aren't they? At some point in time, we're going to figure out that there's not enough rich people to take from to take care of all the people who won't work. So let's take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. But let's not encourage people to not work when they can. There's a difference. Amos 8:5 saying, "When will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit." They hypocritically longed for the Sabbath to end so that they could return to sin and the crooked money making. So they went, let's get this over with so we can go back to our sinful ways, right? I wonder in churches all around the world, how many people come to the house of God on the Lord's Day and sit in the pew and say, "Can't wait till this is over so I can get back to my life. I want to go back to my sinful ways, and as soon as we get this over with, I can get more sin in my life, get on to it." I wonder how many people have that attitude when they go to the house of God. Just saying. I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying there's got to be some. They just can't wait to get it over with. They're just there for a show. I'm here because people expect me to be. No, you should be here because you want to meet with God. You want to hear what God has for you. That's why we should be here. Not looking forward to when we can get back to the world. Then new moon. Based on a lunar calendar, Israel would celebrate the day with a festival like the Sabbath. No work was to be done. In 1 Samuel 20, verses 5 and 6, "And David said unto Jonathan, Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family." In 2 Kings 4:23 says, "And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath, and he said, It shall be well." In Ezekiel 46:3, "Likewise the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moons." Bad as they are, they do indeed keep up a show and form of godliness. They observe the Sabbath and the new moon. They put some difference between those days and other days, but they were soon weary of them and had no affection at all to them, for their hearts were wholly set upon the world and the things of it. The Bible's very clear. We are to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. But there's people that get so tied up with the things of this world that that's where their affections are. They have no affection for the things of God. In fact, they have no desire whatsoever for the things of God. But the things of the world are very alluring. And that's what they want. So like I said, can't wait till I've been in churches where don't stand in the doorway when the last amen is said or you'll be carpet. Because the trampling of the people racing to get out the door is unreal. They can't wait to be gone. It's almost like if I stay in the house of God for an extra minute, I might get some plague or something. No, we shouldn't have the desire. I remember when we first came here and I said, man, these people like to stay around and talk afterwards. This is nice. This is fellowshipping. This is getting to know one another. This is refreshing. And I like that. We should want to spend time together. We should want to be around one another and do that. And not have our hearts so set on the things of the world that we can't wait to get out of the house of God so we can get back to the worldly things. Sabbath days and Sabbath work are a burden to carnal hearts that are always afraid of doing too much for God and eternity. Can we spend our time better than in communion with God? And how much time do we spend pleasantly with the world? It's amazing. We can spend a lot of time with the world and it doesn't bother us at all. You know what totally gets me? People come to the house of God, they can't spend an hour or two with God, but they can spend 3 or 4 hours at the ball game, sitting on the sidelines, getting all excited about their favorite team. What's that favorite team playing going to have any effect on eternity? None. And I'm not... If you're into sports, be into sports. Not a problem. Just don't let it affect time you spend with God. The merchants' eagerness for the day to end revealed their appetite for greed. Greed. The love of money is the root of all evil. I had somebody the other day tell me it's money is the root of all evil. I said, you got to get the verse right. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money is a tool. It's a tool that God gave us to be able to buy and sell things. It's a tool. But when we love money, then it becomes an idol. Yeah, and then it's a problem. The ephah, a small shekel, great. By dishonest weighing, the merchant decreased the actual amount received and increased the cost of the merchandise. Have we seen that today? I'll never forget the first time I went and got a half gallon of milk after they changed the size of a half gallon of ice cream. And I grabbed that thing out of the shelf and I went, that's not a half gallon. It isn't a half gallon. And the price went up. The contents went down, the price went up. Like, the old bait and switch, huh? Raise the price, lower the amount. And we've seen it on everything. Have you seen your 16-ounce can of canned goods? It's 15 ounces. Still looks like a 16-ounce can. It's 15 ounces. You got to watch these people. I've been waiting for a half gallon of milk to be three-quarters of a gallon. I mean, a full gallon of milk to be three-quarters of a gallon. It hasn't happened yet. It's still a gallon of milk. Or at least it says it is on the thing. I haven't actually measured it out. But, you know, this is what they're doing. Increase the cost and reduce how much you're getting. They ritualistic kept the Sabbath and the new moon, but their hearts were not in it. They were wishing for them to be over so they could get back to the things of commerce they were really interested in. To keep the Sabbath or the new moon out of being bound was unacceptable of God. He wanted them to love these times. He wanted them to keep these days for love of Him, not for obligation. As I said, people who go to church just because they feel obligated, what good is it? It's not doing them any good because God's seeing. God knows. God knows our hearts. They even had dishonest weights which were strictly forbidden. Basically, being disobedient to the Word of God over and over and over and over. And God said, enough's enough. We're out of time there, so we're going to stop there before we get into Amos chapter 8, verse 6. Let's pray.